This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. A federal grand jury is investigating high-dollar contracts and salaries in the department's health, the State Department's Health and Human Services Department. News and Observer newspaper reports that the U.S. Attorney's Office issued subpoenas to the department in late July. The criminal grand jury wants payment and hiring information for more than 30 DHHS employees, as well as the employment contract of former DHHS Secretary Aldana Vosh. As we said, the story first was reported by the NNO. Here to tell us more is WUNC's Capital Bureau Chief, Jeff DeBerry. Welcome, Jeff.
Good afternoon, Frank.
What are these subpoenas specifically looking at?
As you mentioned, 30 current and former employees at DHHS looking at those contracts, who was hired, how they were hired, what kind of compensation they received, both while working and then, you know, on the back end, were there lump sums and how much of a parachute, so to speak, did some of these folks get? Reading between the lines and also taking into account an audit, a state audit from earlier this year looking specifically at Medicaid funding, we believe that federal investigators are looking at, you know, some of these no-bid contracts, possible nepotism, at least one contract that just soared in cost. It was supposed to be a $3.2 million contract, and the state ended up paying a Washington, D.C.-based firm some $9 million. So they're looking at some of the specifics about wasteful spending.
And do the subpoenas name any individuals?
They do. There are a lot of names that are listed here in the subpoenas. And Aldana Vosh, the former Secretary of Health and Human Services, is the most prominent name. And, you know, they're looking for communication between her and some of her, strongest allies and folks that, you know, stood by her and were key during her time. Les Merritt is one of those individuals, a former state auditor turned DHHS staffer. Thomas Adams, who for a time was Voss's chief of staff, again, a firm that I mentioned in Washington, D.C., that received a lot of money. We're not talking about, you know, the leader of the House or the Senate or the governor or things like that. But you never know if there are more subpoenas or things that you don't know what the investigation will hold moving forward. But those are some of the folks who are involved in this.
All right. And this is a federal criminal grand jury that has subpoenaed that information from DHHS. But it is not the first time that high-ranking employees have come under fire or Aldana Vosh for her hiring practices. Tell us about some of the earlier criticisms.
Correct. And I think I hesitate to say this wasn't a surprise. I mean, a federal investigation usually raises some eyebrows. But the audit that came out earlier this year, it was a hefty audit, several hundred pages, looking at Medicaid spending in the state and looking at some questionable hires, individuals within DHHS who hired, 20, 25 folks during their tenures that people that really weren't qualified to do the jobs they were doing from a market or comparative compensatory conversation. They were receiving a lot of money, more than they would have in other places. So Vasha took heat. And she obviously, we should mention, I know you'll get to it, she left this summer shortly after these indictments. These subpoenas came down. But she has been criticized. She was criticized by members of both parties during her time as secretary. Some of it because of some of these hiring decisions, some of it because of technical glitches in NCTRACS, which is a computer system that deals with Medicaid in the state, and also because of cost overruns. And that's, you know, a larger issue and a more complicated issue within Medicaid within the state. But there have been all kinds of cost overruns for a long time, going back, to be fair, through Republican and Democratic administrations. And that's something that lawmakers have had issue with for a long time.
Looking at the subpoenas and the information that the grand jury is looking for, how many of those cases does Aldana Vosh or did she have direct contact with, and how many were the people who are directly under her in terms of making the hires and what the grand jury might be interested in? How directly involved is Aldana Vosh in these subpoenas?
I don't know if we know yet, but the fact that the Department of Justice is asking explicitly for all communication between Merritt and Vosh and Thomas Adams, her chief of staff, and Vosh, I mean, they're looking directly at her. Now, exactly what was said and I mean, that's why they're doing the investigation. So I think to answer your question, not to skirt around it, is that, you know, this was her department. So, I mean, presumably she was very involved in some of these things, but we're in theory going to find out in the right. in the next few months.
And these are high dollar contracts, so we're talking about a lot of money here. What about her resignation? As you said, she resigned this past summer, and as it turns out, 1 week after the subpoenas had been delivered to offices in DHHS. What does she have to say about that?
Well, she hasn't said anything since, as you mentioned, the news that Observer, unveiled that they had obtained these subpoenas last week. She hasn't commented that I've seen to any media outlets, has not responded to a request for comment that I made. So we don't know if she will address any of the timing, but I think any cynic would certainly look at the timing of that and think, Isn't that odd that federal subpoenas came down and a week later she resigned? Now, the Department of DHHS spokesperson did say last week that in a statement that the secretary was planning on stepping aside and that transition was already in the works. So you can obviously take that into account and also consider that Tony Tata, the Secretary of Transportation, he departed about the same time that Vosh did, and that was a much more abrupt resignation, in that we found out about it, and we found out, you know, a minute after he resigned, it was like, oh, and he's gone from his office. There was you know, pomp and circumstance, and the governor celebrated Vosh and had a press conference and gave her an award and cried and all that. So it wasn't as abrupt as the Tata resignation.
You are at the State House now. Any reaction from lawmakers to the news about the subpoenas?
Not that I have had yet.
All right. What about the implications? As you said, there was an audit that showed, at the very least, a waste, according to the audit itself, suggested we lost over $1 million in Medicaid contracts and Medicaid spending owing to some of the hiring practices. That's a lot of money. And I wonder if this is a part of the federal investigation. But more than that, going forward now, we have a Medicaid reform plan that privatizes much of the Medicaid spending, which makes it more opaque and less accountable. I mean, we now have a state audit and a federal investigation where you can subpoena state records that are public records. Does this raise questions going forward about privatization of Medicaid, where a lot of it now becomes even more opaque?
Yes, is the short answer. The more involved answer, and I've chatted with a couple of people today, and there are concerns within the healthcare industry, there are concerns within, you know, the political sphere. But what happens when the dollars in Medicaid become harder to track? As you just mentioned, you can't do a request and find out what's happening with state programs and how dollars are flowing when good portions of the Medicaid system in the state will be privatized. There's also the concern that when this transition, as this transition takes place, I guess we're into it at this point, but it's a very slow transition for the overhaul of Medicaid to move forward. There's also going to be this piece of proprietary information so that if big insurer X or big insurer Y comes in and, you know, the press has a question about, hey, what happened with this $1 million or how were these funds allocated? It's more reasonable and expected, really, for a private insurer to say, oh, well, we're not going to share that with you. That's proprietary information. That is that's not conducive to us doing good business. So we're not going to tell you exactly how we're spending the money. So moving forward, I've already started to hear some rumblings about it, but I would suspect that you will hear more about those concerns, the lack of transparency from people who are either against or questioning the overhaul of Medicaid. However, the Medicaid overhaul is moving forward, and it doesn't appear that this is going to stop that anytime soon.
It's moving forward, and it has to move forward in part through the Department of Health and Human Services, which is now under the shadow of this investigation. What are the consequences of this federal investigation on the department itself?
It's early to cast a forecast, make a guess on that. But it is interesting. It's interesting to consider what will happen at the state level. And also, if we think about Medicaid, and bearing in mind it's about a $15 billion a year program, Two-thirds of that money comes from the federal government. So North Carolina doesn't get to just overhaul its Medicaid system and move forward and collect a lot of money, $9, $10, $11 billion from the federal government. North Carolina has to apply for a federal waiver. And I think initially one question is, how will this factor into that? What is the federal government going to do, say, respond? How will the federal government feel about North Carolina overhauling its Medicaid system if there have been some questionable issues, perhaps criminal practices or instances that have taken place? So it's early to tell, but one wonders how this will factor into a federal waiver that the state needs to acquire from the federal government before Medicaid overhaul can really push forward.
All right, Jeff, thank you so much.
Thanks, Frank.
WUNC Capital Bureau Chief Jeff DeBerry. A little later tonight, we're going to be at the Hunt Library at North Carolina State for Movies on the Radio. We're going to screen the hit film The Graduate, that back in 1967 originally hit the screens. We're going to screen it tonight at 6:30 at the Hunt Library, and you can be in the audience if you want for the conversation that will follow on Movies on the Radio. That's tonight, 6:30, Hunt Library. You can join us. Hope to see you there. Meanwhile, just ahead, Melissa Radcliffe, the co-founder of the Family Violence Prevention Center of Orange County, joins us on the State of Things. Please stay tuned.